So once again, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us this Saturday evening. We are few people sitting here in person and everybody else watching us virtually online or through the audio conference call listening. So as we know, we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam. Last time we were talking about Lord Varadeva's appearance to bring the earth out of the waters of devastation. And then we discuss the second instance of Varadeva's appearance also as a Nilvaraha. When he was bringing the earth out, that time a demon, Hiranyaksha, he attacked on the Lord and Lord killed that demon. So two different instances of Varadeva, Shvetvaraha and Nilvaraha. Shvetvaraha, who appeared in the first Manvantara, Brahma's day, the first Manvantara. And the second instance of Nilvaraha is in the sixth Manvantara, Chakshusha Manu. At that time, when earth is tortured, all the three worlds are tortured by Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The earth fell from its position, being in imbalance. At that time, Lord Varadeva appears to bring the earth out, to restore to its position. At that time, Hiranyaksha comes and challenges the Lord to fight with him. So that's what we were discussing. So we'll continue from there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirai Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatare Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshay Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so today we are discussing third canto, 14th chapter, which is Maitra Rishi describes the origin of Hiranyaksha, how Hiranyaksha appeared, how did he take birth, who he was. So we are entering into that discussion, a background story. So when Maitra Rishi spoke about briefly the appearance of Lord Varahadev and two different instances of Varahadev's appearance, after hearing that discussion, Vidura, who is by default a great devotee of the Lord, he was relishing these pastimes of the Lord, but at the same time he was thinking, this is too brief, I need more, please tell me in more detail. So Shukdev Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj that after Vidura heard this narration from Maitra Rishi, Vidura spoke, or what was Vidura's response was, so Shri Shuka Uvacha, Hare Katham Karana Sukratmana Punah Sa Praprachha Tam Udhyatma Anjali Nacha Ati Tripto Vidura Drit Vrata Hare Katham Karana Sukratmana. The Lord's appearance as Sukra, as Varahadev, in the form of a hog, after hearing the Lord's appearance in that form, Vidura was not very satisfied. He spoke to Maitreya Rishi, Punah Sa Praprachha Tamha Udhyatma Anjali. He folded his hand and requested Maitreya Muni, please, I am not satisfied. Nacha Ati Tripto, I am not satisfied. Please speak elaborately. Please speak in more detail. So that was Vidura's response. So Vidura was not happy or not satisfied with that brief description of two different incarnations of Varahadev. He wanted to know more. He said, I want to know more. Who is this Adidaitya? First of all, this demon. The volume is low? Okay. I don't know if I have...
I can give it to you.
But that's okay. That should be okay. Okay, sorry. So, Vidura was requesting, I want to know more. I want to know about more details of this Adidaitya. Who is this Adidaitya? How did he appear? Why he wanted to fight with the Lord? So, I want to know all these more details. It's like you are in the line of feast. Somebody is serving you prasadam, your favorite item. Just imagine your favorite item right now. And he gives you a very small scoop. Ram Prabhu is serving in the feast. He is told, give very little quantity. limited prasadam today. And he is giving only one spoon. And I come in the line, Prabhu, itna kanjusi kyun dikha rahe ho, thoda zyada dalo, give me little more. So that's what Vidura is saying. I want to know more. Why are you telling me so briefly? Give little elaborate description of Lord's appearance. I am interested in hearing about Lord's descriptions. Or generally another thing is, what happens with us is, how many times we ask more questions or we want to know more in detail. 1 hour class is done, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam class. And after that, we are also in hurry. We are in rush, right? Ek ghanta ho gaya, baithe baithe kamar dard karne lagi hai. Prabhu ji, jaldi khatam kariye. You are speaking too much. And even if we ask any questions, how many people raise hand for questions? Jaldi ghar jayen, bahut ho gaya. Prasadam bhi lena hai. We're already getting late, hungry. But Vidura, he has so much interest, so much desire to hear about the glories of the Lord. He wanted to hear more and more detail. Why did Lord appear? Who was this demon? Why he wanted to fight? I want to know. So he is saying, I want to know about this Adidaitya, the original demon. Right? Adidaitya, original demon. Please tell me more detail about this original demon. So demon, who is a Rakshasa, who is a Daitya? We discussed briefly a little bit last time also. A daitya is not somebody with two horns coming out of his head or big teeth or a very ugly face or something. That is a stereotype description of a rakshasa. A rakshasa is with his mentality. Mentality is the selfish agenda for personal sense enjoyment without any consideration of others' welfare. That is a rakshasa. If we look from the external description, if you hear about Hiranyakashipu, he was a very handsome person. Ravana, he was a very handsome fellow. So it's not just from the externals, it's the mentality which classifies somebody a demon, a daitya. So his rakshasa mentality, what was that? Me. I want to enjoy. I don't really care about anybody else. And all they want is they want to utilize all the resources. Right? Personal enjoyment. So Hiranyaksh, whose eyes are gold, or whose eyes are on gold. Who has golden eyes or whose eyes are on gold. He is always looking for gold. They were plundering the earth, trying to fetch all the resources out. That's why the earth was imbalanced and fell down from its position. So, a rakshasa who is thinking about his own enjoyment, not considering for anybody else's welfare. In current society also, we see people are interested for their own personal agenda, personal motive. Na bibi, na bhaiya, na baap bada, na bhaiya, sabse bada rupaiya. Right? So, they have no consideration for wife, no consideration for children, no consideration for elderly parents or siblings. It's just personal selfish agenda. As long as others are helping you satisfy your own senses, then they are good with you. But if you raise any objection for somebody's enjoyment, then they become inimical towards that person. So Hiranyaksh was like that. And another mentality of a demon is they want to bring obstacles on the path of somebody who is engaged in the work of welfare. So Hiranyaksh caused the earth to fall down from its position, go into the waters. When Lord Varadev is picking it up, Lord Varadev is engaged in welfare work, right? He is bringing the earth out, putting it back in its position. And Hiranyaksh come there and want to fight with Lord. Why are you taking this earth? This belongs to me. I want to enjoy the property of this earth, the opulences of. So give it back to me. So bringing, putting the obstacles in others' path for their welfare activity. The job of a saintly person is to spread the message of God. Right? To spread the dharma. And what does the demon do? The demoniac mentality people, they want to put obstacles in the path of the saintly people. They will bring obstacles. We see this in the world. People want to do Harinam, they want to go on Sankirtan, they want to build some temple or organize some festival for the Lord so that other people can come and participate and take benefit. And people want to put obstacles in that path. So that is a demonic mentality. So now, further, going forward, the description of that. So remember, demon is not by just external looks. It is the mentality who are always looking for their personal enjoyment. How many of you have heard the story of a king who was always behind gold? Actually, he got the boon. Whatever I touch, the king Midas, right? Whatever I touch, that turns into gold. So, when he got this boon, he was very happy and he wanted to test if this boon is really working or not. Went into the garden, started touching every flower, every branch, it started turning into gold. And he's very happy, oh, every flower is now gold, every branch, every leaf, every twig is gold. He went into his palace, touched his bed, turned into gold. Touched his crown, it turned into gold. And then somebody brought the food for him. He touched the food also turned into gold. And now he started to lament a little bit, oh, I cannot eat anything, how can I eat gold? And then his daughter came. His daughter was very morose. And his daughter's name was Marigold. King Midas, and his daughter's name was Marigold. So his daughter was unhappy that, oh, flowers are turned into gold. They don't have real smell anymore. So she came to complain, and he wanted to pacify the daughter. He tried to hug the daughter, and daughter also turned into gold. So now he was really lamenting, oh, this boon has turned into a curse. But the point I'm saying is the demonic mentality is they don't think of the power. Mentality is very narrow-minded. They think limited just for the near-term, short-term gratification. So when Vidura asked like this, Maitreya Rishi was very happy with Vidura. He glorified Vidura. So when Vidura said, Rishena Triptami Manaha, Param Kotu Halam Hime, my mind is very inquisitive. It's not satisfied. Please speak more elaborately. So Maitreya was very happy. He congratulated Vidura. Great, sadhu, sadhu. Bahut accha, bahut accha. Your queries are so good because it gives me the opportunity to speak about the Supreme Lord. And hearing about the Lord, speaking about the Lord, brings all auspiciousness. It is beneficial for everybody. Hearing about the glorification of the Lord, just hearing Harikatha, one can become liberated. It opens the door for everybody to attain liberation. Otherwise, who are bound to the cycle of birth and death. Right? Everybody is bound to the cycle of birth and death. They are going in Yamapash. But hearing Harikatha, it opens the door of liberation. So, your questions are very good. And he addressed Vidura, Sadhu Veer, Tavya Prashtam, Avatar Tatha Hare, Yattum Prachasi Mrityanam, Mrityupash Vishatani. People are bound with this Mrityupash. It gives them the opportunity to become liberated. Sadhu, Sadhu, Veer. And he is addressing Vidura with the word Veer. Now, Vidura, was he a warrior? Was he a warrior? But Maitreya Rishi is addressing him as Veer. Generally, our dictionary word, Veer will mean somebody brave, right? Somebody warrior. But Vidura was a minister. He was a very learned person. But why Maitreya Rishi is addressing Vidura as a Veer? He also knows archery. Actually, it describes in Bhagavatam when Duryodhana insulted Vidura to get out of this place, otherwise I will kick you out. Vidura, it describes in Bhagavatam, Vidura left his bow and arrow at the door and left. So Vidura also used to carry bow and arrow, even though he was the minister, prime minister. But not for that. Maitreya is not addressing Vidura Veer for that. Actually, there are different type of Veer. When I tell you those Hindi words, you will understand, relate to that now. What was Karna known as? Dan Veer. Right? So, Veer word is not just for warrior. There is Dan Veer, Dharma Veer, Karma Veer, Yuddha Veer, and another word is Dharma Veer, Dan Veer, Yuddha Veer, Karma Veer, Dhanavir, right? I already said that. Paramavir. Yeah, that is related to warrior, Yuddhavir. So those are different terminology for that. So somebody who shows lot of strength in the fight, war, that is Yuddhavir. But somebody may be very charitable person also. He is also addressed as Veer, who is giving lot of charity. Somebody who is following the path of religious principles, he is also called as Dharma Veer. Somebody is very strictly following the process of karma, not attached to his work or not attached to the result of his work, doing it as a matter of duty, Karma Veer. So Vidura, he was situated as Dharma Veer, following strictly the process of religiosity. He was strictly following this principle of dharma. He left the house did not want to participate in war and he went on pilgrimage. He had taken strong vows. So Maitreya Rishi is addressing him as Veera, Sadhu Veera. You are a devotee also. You are a great personality fixed on the path of Dharma. So hearing about the Lord grants liberation to everybody. I will speak about the history which I heard from Brahma. So earlier all the demigods, they approached Brahma and Brahma told this historical reference of Lord Vara's appearance. And then he started to describe about this pastime of Diti and Kashyapa. So there was a great sage named Kashyapa and his wife was Diti. So who is Kashyap? Kashyap is son of Marichi. Marichi is son of Brahma. So when Brahma started the process of creation, he created those 10 Brahmanas. Marichi, Atri, etc. Right? So Marichi is one of the son of Brahma and through Marichi, one of the son is Kashyap. So he is the grandson of Brahma. And Kashyap had many wives. One of the wife is Diti. She is the daughter of Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati had 50 daughters. Out of the 50 daughters, 13 were married to Kashyap. Now somebody may raise this question. Wait a minute. Polygamy. How come polygamy allowed that time? So in the Vedic time, polygamy was allowed for two classes of people. The Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. So Kshatriya and Brahmana could marry multiple wives, not for the purpose of sense enjoyment, but for the purpose of offering protection. So king could marry many, many wives. He could have many queens because king had the capacity to provide for them, to take care of them, to give them shelter. And Brahmanas also, because Brahmanas being engaged in their Brahmanical activities, they will engage their wives also in those activities and give them shelter and protection. So only Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are allowed in the Vedic culture to have multiple wives. The Vaishya and Shudra were not allowed for multiple marriages because of their consciousness, right? Their consciousness is not as elevated. Their consciousness is more at the level of personal sense enjoyment. So they will misuse this freedom. So Kashyap Rishi also had multiple wives. 13 are sisters. So one day, Diti approached Kashyap. And Kashyap, it was the Sandhya time at that time. Sandhya time. In the daytime, there are 3 Sandhyas. In the morning time, when the night is going away and the day is coming, right? The union of those 2 times, night and day, that is the time of Sandhya. Then the afternoon time, when the evening is coming, the afternoon time, that is Sandhya. Then the evening time, when the night is again coming and day is going, that is Sandhya. So that's why we say 3 Sandhya, right? And the 3 Sandhya Vandan, that people do Sandhya Vandan at 3 times, Gayatri at 3 times, at all these 3 Sandhyas. So it was the evening time, Sandhya time. Kashyap Rishi, he had performed his yajna, Agnihotra. He was, after offering the oblations to the Supreme Lord, he was sitting in his meditation, in his yajnashala. At that time, Diti approached Kashyap Muni. And what was her intention? She was tormented by Kama, lusty desires for having union with husband. And what was her overall thought process and what she is speaking to Kashyapa is described here. So she wanted to request Kashyapa to unite with her for the purpose of progeny, that I want to beget children. I am being tormented by Kamadev. Kamadev is attacking me. It's like a mad elephant attacking a delicate banana tree. My situation is like that. I have been tormented by Kamadev. My whole body is influenced by this lusty consciousness. I'm requesting you, please fulfill my desire. So, because Kashyapa is engaged in meditation, she is going there and directly approaching Kashyapa and speaking directly about all these things. And who is Kamadev? Why Kamadev chose Diti, not Kashyapa, to make victim? Generally, Kamadev, his job is he goes and attacks the sadhus. Right? When they are absorbed in the meditation, Indra becomes very scared that maybe they are behind my seat. Unko Indra san chahiye. So Indra sends his army, Kamadev, and Kamadev takes his army. What is the army of Kamadev? Kamadev carries a bow and 5 arrows. And these are made of flowers. So like here we say Cupid, right? The equivalent of Kamadev is what is represented as Cupid. Cupid carries a bow made of flowers and arrows of flowers. And he shoots on the heart of somebody and it gets desires for enjoyment. And what is the other army of Kamadev? Kamadev's army is composed of women. Women are like the soldiers for Kamadev. So if he wants to influence somebody with lusty desires, women are as an instrument to provoke those desires. But here it's the other way. He is not directly attacking Kashyapa. He is actually utilizing Diti as an instrument to provoke Kashyapa. So Diti goes there. I am influenced by this desires. And what these 5 arrows represent? Kamadev's 5 arrows. These are the 5 senses. The sense of sight, sense of hearing, sense of smell, sense of taste, sense of touch. Through these 5 senses, one becomes provoked. Right? If somebody hears some particular music, it evokes particular emotions in somebody. By seeing some particular sight, one gets provoked. By smell, one gets provoked. By the sense of touch, one gets provoked. So these 5 senses, through these 5 senses, Kamadev does his magic to provoke. So Diti goes there, I am being tormented by Kamadev, but don't think just I am filled with this lusty desires to unite with you. Actually, my intention is I want to beget children. See, when I look at my other sisters, we are 13 sisters married to you. And all those sisters, they have children. And when I look at them, I feel little enviousness in my heart. So that sense of envy is coming, seeing their opulences, that you have benedicted them nicely, but I have no children so far. So I am feeling sense of envy. This sense of envy is crazy. In every aspect, we get this sense of envy. People get envious from their friends, from their own siblings, from neighbors. Even in devotee circle, one devotee becomes envious of others, seeing their progress. So this envy is all around. Everywhere we see this envy. Somebody's friend may progress in business. Right? He established a nice business, nice company. Externally, you may be saying, very, very nice. I'm very happy seeing your progress. But internally, thoda dhuma uth raha hai. Right? That flame is burning up. How come he is so settled and I'm still struggling in life? I used to be the topper in the class. I'm still struggling. Wo nalayak tha, fail hota tha. Mere se nakal karke pass hota tha. He is settled in nice company in America. That envy is there. And if the friend loses his business somehow, externally, you may go and tell, oh, I'm very sad to hear about your situation. Internally, you're feeling happy. Achha hua. Very good. He lost. Rascal. He was rascal number one. Good that he lost all that. So that is envy. Right? So that envy comes among siblings also. And in spiritual progress also, as I said. So Diti was directly upfront telling, see, I am feeling this envy towards my other sisters. Now because that's that feeling of sister relation is not there. Now it's like more of as a co-wives. Sotan. Right? So that feeling is there. How come they are getting more favor from the husband and I am not getting that favor? So she is covering up her desires to unite with Kashyapa on the garb of I want to have children. And it is the duty of the husband to fulfill the desire of the wife. And if I get children, that is the most important thing for a woman, to have children. Then the wife's life is successful. The motherhood is a very important aspect of a woman's life. So you should be merciful on me and fulfill my desire. And if we get nice children, it will fulfill your glory also. You will also become glorious. Because you are one of the Prajapati and your job is to expand the progeny. So what she is doing, actually she is doing using all the tricks. Sama, Dama, Danda, Bheda, to convince Kashyapa. First she is showing herself as a victim. I am the victim of Kama. Kamadev is tormenting me. Please help me. Where else will I go? And then she is using the terminology Dama or Bheda, that why you are more favorable towards my other co-wives, not towards me. And then she throws another trick also. See, I am the daughter of Daksha Prajapati, who is a great personality. See, our father, he was very much loving towards all his daughters. And when we were of the age of marriage, he inquired from all of us privately, with whom will you like to marry? Do you have any preference? And 13 of us chose you. We had heard about you. We had a crush on you. So I was already in love with you. See, don't think I don't love you. I just want to use you for my personal enjoyment. I was in love with you. So you should also have a reciprocation towards me. Satisfy my desires. And if my father comes to know that I have been neglected, he will not be very happy. So what is that? Danda. Right? My father will not be very happy with you also. So indirectly telling like that. So she is using all these things and ultimately she glorifies also. You are such a great personality. Oh Kamal Nayan. Oh Kamal Lochan. Oh beautiful eyed one. Please hear my plea. Please satisfy my desires. Great personality should not neglect the one who is distressed. If somebody is in distress and they come to a great person, they try to fulfill their needs. So if somebody goes to a king, right, somebody is in need of some money, some particular things, they go to the king and plead to the king, and king fulfills the need of the distressed person. And the brahmanas, when somebody comes to them, they try to give them knowledge and pacify them. I am your wife. I am coming to you. I am in a distress condition. Please try to solve my distress. So great, great personalities like you should take care of that. So after she spoke like this, what was Kashyap's response? Kashyap was in meditation. Right? He just finished his yajna. He was doing Gayatri. He was in meditation. When wife came with this completely out of request, a different, completely different mindset, he could have told, he could have rebuked Diti. You are out of your mind. You don't know what is the time, what is the place, what is the circumstance. And you are putting forward this kind of request. You have lost all your sense, all your shame, and you are upfront speaking to the husband like this. Actually, Kashyap did not speak like that. A lesson for all the couples, for all of us, how a husband should behave towards the wife in all sort of situations. Kashyap did not rebuke Diti. He actually started to glorify Diti. He was trying to pacify, trying to buy time, because this was not the right time. So he is speaking to Diti in a very favorable way, trying to calm her down, pacify her, speaking very polite, sweet words to Diti. He said, I will fulfill all your desires. No doubt about that. It's a husband's duty to fulfill any desire of the wife, because wife is the source of all the three purushartha. See, in life we say there are four purushartha. In the Vedic scriptures we describe dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are the four purushartha. And wife is very much helpful in attaining three of the purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama. She helps in fulfilling dharma, engaging in religious, spiritual duties. Without wife, a husband cannot do any spiritual, religious activity. If somebody has to do a yajna, you need the presence of wife. Actually, a brahmachari cannot do that particular yajna. Right? So, because wife is needed, only a grihastha, only a couple can do particular yajnas. So wife is very helpful in fulfilling the dharma of the husband. Even when the guests come at home, wife helps to serve the guest. Right? Wife will cook. She will manage all these different things. So wife is very helpful in protecting husband's dharma. And wife is helpful in protecting artha. How is wife helpful in protecting artha? Actually, somebody say wife actually spends all the money. Husband earns and wife spends. How is wife helpful in fulfilling artha then? Actually, husband earns, but a noble, gentle wife, she is very careful in how to spend that money. And she protects the husband from overspending, from useless spending. She manages the money in a careful way to run the affairs of the household. So she is helping in artha and material prosperity also, because she is giving inspiration also. She is the source of inspiration. Oh, we need to do this for the kids. We need to arrange this thing and that thing. So she always keep encouraging the husband. In that way, she is helping in protecting artha. And then kama, of course, she is helpful in gratifying the senses, satisfying the senses, helping in that way also, rather than husband getting astray, getting into the illicit relations and all. She controls the husband in that way, protects the husband from that fall down also. So a husband can fulfill three purushartha in life with the help of wife. So wife is very much helpful. That's why wife is known as Ardhangini. She is the half body, right? Ardhangini. And wife helps to cross beyond this material ocean. As a person can cross beyond this material ocean by riding onto a ship. You may see some people are trying to swim across the river or across the ocean to go certain distance. But it's a very challenging process. Sometimes the waves are in the opposite direction also, which may throw you away. So trying to swim across on your own strength, it's very difficult. But if somebody rides on a boat, on a ship, he is able to easily cross beyond that. So being in a householder life is like that situation, that somebody is riding a ship and he can easily cross beyond this ocean because wife is helping in many ways. And being in a householder life, one is able to protect all other ashramas also. We say there is a brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha and sannyas. All the other three ashramas, brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyas, they actually depend on grihastha ashram. Because the grihasthas, the householders, they will give charity to maintain, to sustain all other ashrams also. The brahmanas or the vanaprasthas, even though they may be in the family life also, but they are not earning, right? The householder is maintaining all other ashramas. So it's like when somebody is riding on a ship, you see some people trying to swim across and you are nicely going on the ship, having nice plate of prasadam in front of you, and this other person is working very hard, struggling, and you throw some prasadam, here, take some. So it's like that. You are going in a grihastha ashram, you are managing your own household life, and you are providing for others also for their sustenance. So household life is very important, and the wife's role is very important to help the husband in fulfilling all his duties. And because of the wife, husband sometimes is very relaxed. He can go anywhere, giving all the charge to his wife. All the responsibility, he can delegate all the responsibilities to the wife and can go away on a trip, on a business trip or something. And wife can take care of all the things in the background. He can take care of the kids, she can take care of the kids, she will take care of the parents, she is managing the house. But if the wife goes away and husband has to manage all that, it's a big chaos, isn't it? If the husband has to manage the kids, wife goes away, wife says, okay, I'm going to my parents for 1 month, you manage everything, husbands will be in big problem. So wife's role, Kashyap is glorifying Diti, that I understand, you are very important for me. I am not, don't think I am neglecting you. I have a great regard for you. Actually, wife is so important, she does so much that husband can never pay back the wife. Even if he works all his life and even in the next life, he cannot still pay back the debt of the wife. Now it's getting a little too much. So Kashyap is utilizing this method of glorification to calm her down. Like, glorification is an art. Not everybody can do glorification. Somebody try to do glorification, they mess up. Actually, if you make five couples sit down and ask everybody, you have to say five sentences in glorification of your spouse. It's a big challenge. They have to think so hard. What can I say in glorification of my wife or my husband? We did that exercise once.
It doesn't work.
Many people fail. So, glorification is an art. And Kashyap was good at glorification. He is glorifying Diti. But then it is getting little too much. And when glorification increases or exceeds beyond limit, sometimes it becomes, okay, you are speaking too much, what do you want? Right? That's how it becomes. If you glorify your husband too much, you will say, kya chahiye? Batao baba, chahiye kya? Sida sida bolo. And Kashyap is saying, I cannot pay back your debt in this life and next lives and all that. It's becoming too much. It's like when the glorification exceeds its limit, it becomes sarcasm, criticism. Are you really glorifying me or pulling my leg? So Kashyap first did glorification and then he said, oh, this is not working. She is thinking I am glorifying too much. I am actually criticizing her indirectly. Now he says, listen to me. You have approached me on this particular time. This time is not the right time. You know what happens at this time? This is the Sandhya Kal. At the Sandhya Kal, this is all the ghastly beings, the ghosts and hobgoblins. They wander around at this time. That is considered as inauspicious time for all materialistic kind of activities. This time is only suitable for spiritual activities. So I am sitting here meditating. You also come sit down with me. We both will meditate. And we will think about fulfilling your desire at a later time. You have approached me at this time. Wait for one muhurat. So he wanted to delay. He wanted to pass that Sandhya Kal. He said, this is not right time. Wait for one muhurata. When this time passes, then I will fulfill your desire. So you also sit down. This is inauspicious time. Ghosts and hobgoblins, they wander around. Lord Shiva, who is Bhutnath, he rides on his carrier Nandi, who is Dharma personified, and he is, his body is like a golden hue, but he is filled with ashes. Right? He is putting all the ashes from the cremation. And he is carrying all the ghosts, his bhut ganas along with him. So Diti indirectly may think that, okay, this is time of Lord Shiva. He is passing by, riding on Nandi with his ghost. But we will do it privately in a secluded place. We will be from the away from the eyes of Lord Shiva. Nobody will see us. And Kashyap says, so this is indirectly. Kashyap can read the mind of Diti, or she may think like that. So he further goes on. Actually, Lord Shiva, he is not an ordinary person. He is known as, what is the another name for Lord Shiva? Famous for three eyes. Trinetra or Trikaladarshi. Right? He can see past, present and future. He can see everything. He has a third eye. From the two eyes, one look at the materialistic things. Right? One is looking at the object of sense gratification. But Lord Shiva has a third eye. And when he closes his other two eyes, he closes the object of sense gratification. His third eye represents the knowledge of, the eye of knowledge. With knowledge, one can discriminate what is right and wrong, what is dharma and what is adharma. So Lord Shiva can see everything. No, nothing is hidden from him. Don't think we will be hidden from his eyes. And Lord Shiva, he is a very great personality. One should not disregard Lord Shiva. So who is Lord Shiva actually? What is the position of Lord Shiva? He wanders around with his... Why he wanders around with the ghastly beings? Why his body is covered with ashes from the crematorium ground? Lord Shiva wanders onto the cremation grounds. Lord Shiva actually, once Parvati asked Lord Shiva, I see you paying obeisances to somebody, nobody. I mean, that person is like nobody. Whom are you paying obeisances? And Lord Shiva said, whoever chants the name of Lord Ram one time, I pay three times obeisances to that person. Whoever is chanting the name of Lord Ram, I pay obeisances to that person. And when somebody dies, four people are carrying the dead body. Arthi ke piche piche sankado log chal rahe hain. So many people are walking behind the dead body. Everybody is calling Ram Naam Satya Hai, Ram Naam Satya Hai. So everybody is chanting the name of Lord Ram. And this person who died, he is making so many people chant the name of Lord Ram. So that person is very dear to me. He is making so many people chant the name of Lord Ram. So this person is very special to me. When his body is being burned, I take the ashes from his burnt up body and I put on my body. I decorate my body from the ashes. So that's why Lord Shiva is covering himself with the ashes from crematorium ground. And he is giving the opportunity to all the ghostly beings to deliver them. So he is preaching to all these ghastly beings. We may preach to some sensible people. Right? We tell them about Krishna. You should chant the name of Krishna. But Lord Shiva is such a wonderful preacher. He is preaching to Bhut Preta Ganas that I will deliver them also. Unko bhi main apne jaisa bana dunga. Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Lord. And he thinks I will make them also like me as a great devotee of the Lord. And he makes arrangement to help them enter into the womb of a mother to get them, give them a body. Right now they are without body in a subtle form. So whenever Lord Shiva sees somebody engaged in these activities, union and all, Lord Shiva directs, okay, opportunity for you to enter into the womb to be able to get a body. So Lord, nothing is hidden from the eyes of Lord Shiva. He is such a great personality. Everybody regards him so much. Even Brahma regards him so much. Everybody is looking for the remnants of Lord Shiva. We look for the remnants of Lord Shiva. Kashyapa is telling that to Diti. What does Kashyapa mean? We look for the remnants of Lord Shiva. See, in this material world, everybody is actually looking for the remnant of Lord Shiva. One remnant we say as the prasad. Right? We offer the bhoga to the Lord and we receive that back as prasad. So that is prasad. So everybody is looking for the prasad of the Lord. And Prabhupada write in the purport, when the bhoga is offered to the Lord and the great devotees of the Lord take that prasad, it becomes mahaprasad. So if we take the mahaprasad which has been honored by a devotee, it's even more wonderful for us. And Shiva is a great devotee of the Lord. So the remnants of Lord Shiva is actually like Mahaprasad. But here the another meaning that everybody is looking for Prasad, the remnants of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva has given up all the opulences of the world. He is not worrying about any material opulences. He has rejected everything. He doesn't have even a residence for himself. Right? So even Parvati, who is Maya Shakti, he is the husband of Maya Shakti, Durga Devi, but he himself doesn't have anything. He grants opulences to everybody. So whatever is rejected by Lord Shiva has rejected all the opulences, but everybody is looking for the prasad of the Lord. What is being rejected by the Lord? So we are all looking for the remnants of the Lord. That's what Kashyapa is mentioning. And even Brahma regards Lord Shiva so much. Even though Shiva is the son of Brahma, in one way Shiva appeared through Brahma, but he is greater than Brahma because of his devotion. Brahma is also a great devotee of the Lord, but Shiva is a greater devotee of the Lord. And Brahma also regards Shiva so much. So we should not try to insult or ignore this particular time which is under the influence of Lord Shiva. And you are saying you are attacked by Kamadev. Actually, Kamadev went to attack Lord Shiva also. And Lord Shiva opened his third eye and burned Kamadev. But now, you want to satisfy Kamadev, you want to serve Kamadev by fulfilling the provocations of Kamadev. So it means you are serving the enemy of Lord Shiva. How will Lord Shiva feel? We should be actually serving Lord Shiva, but you want to serve the enemy of Lord Shiva. And Diti may think actually Lord Shiva is our relative. He may not take that offense very seriously, or he may not mind our action. He is our relative. How is Lord Shiva relative to Kashyapa and Diti? So from Kashyapa side, actually Shiva is uncle of Kashyapa. Relation mein Bhagwan Shiva jo hain Kashyap ke tayaji lagte hain. Because Shiva was born from Brahma, and after that, like Rudra, right? Rudra came out through Brahma. And after that, the 10 sons of Brahma, which is one of them was Marichi. So Shiva is elder to Marichi. Marichi is the father of Kashyapa. So Shiva is the elder brother of Kashyap's father, means Tayaji. So from that point of view, Lord Shiva is like a Sasurji for Diti. But from Diti's side, what is her relationship? From Diti's side, Diti's elder sister, younger sister, Sati, she is married to Shiva. So in that way, Lord Shiva is brother-in-law to Diti. And Kashyapa is saying, I regard Lord Shiva as my younger brother because he is married to your younger sister. So I regard him like my younger brother. So he is a relative also to us. And Diti may think, so he is our relative, so he will not mind. But Kashyapa is saying, actually, if the relative themselves break the rules, the person will be even more upset. So if somebody is in a very responsible position, he has been given the charge to manage something, and his own relatives break those rules, then people will think, oh, your own children, your own relatives are breaking this rule, you should resign from this position. Right? So Lord Shiva will even mind more about this, our activity, engaging at this time in that sort of activity. So we should not indulge in that activity, wait for that. And others may criticize me for this action. So overall, Kashyapa is trying to mention this time is not the right time. This time is more for engaging in spiritual activities. And moreover, you are saying you want progeny. You want children. That is your purpose of proposing for union. But the consciousness at the time of union of husband and wife, that depends on what type of child will come in their life. if somebody is filled with so much of kama, lust, not their mind is not absorbed on the Supreme Lord, then they will attract a bad soul in their life, in their womb, to become as their child. So right now your consciousness is also impure, so you should wait. Right? That's why we say at the time of union, before husband and wife unite, they should be very much considerate to follow the principles of religion, so that a nice child comes in their life. And Prabhupada mentioned husband and wife, they should chant 16 round minimum. Actually, Prabhupada said that one should chant 50 round before you engage in this act of progeny, so that you can attract some good soul in your family. And earlier in scriptures, there are so many pastimes where the husband and wife are recommended to engage in religious activities, that they should follow some vrata, some austerities before they unite, to purify their consciousness, to bring auspiciousness, to attract a good soul. See, in earlier, I remember some old time in some movies, this concept was shown. A couple is married and a brahmana tells them that, okay, they go to the brahmana that we want a good son, please bless us. And the brahmana may tell, you should observe separation from each other for 1 year, engage in some dharmic activities, religious activities. And people who are so much in the materialistic concept of life, they think, what kind of plan is this? If somebody want to have children, actually they need to stay together. When they stay to get together, when they have union only, then they will produce children. You are telling they should stay separate. If they are staying separate, how will they produce children? But the purpose of this separation, to observe austerities, to purify ourselves, purify the consciousness. There are so many instances in the Bhagavatam. The Prachetas go for austerities. King Prachinabhari, he sends his sons, right, for austerities. King Rishabhdev, he instruct his sons to observe austerities. Then many of them actually full-time become renunciants. Only some come back and engage in grihastha life. So that is because then in that way one can actually engage in grihasthashram. Otherwise it will become as a grahamedhi. There is a big difference in grihastha and grahamedhi. Grihastha is grihasthita ashrita. While staying in the home, while staying with wife, one is engaged in service of the Lord. Grahamedhi, medha means intelligence. Graha means home. Whose whole intelligence, consciousness is fully absorbed in home, in wife, in children, in family. That is grahamedhi. So the scriptures talk about grahastha ashrama, not to become a grahamedhi. So Kashyapa is emphasizing on that point, this is not the right time and your consciousness is not right at that time. That's why we should delay. We should delay at this time, wait for one muhurat, let this time pass by. But Diti, she is very much insisting on, no, I am being tormented. Please help me right now. I want it right now. So Kashyapa was very polite with her. Kashyapa did not show anger externally also. See, there is anger also. Anger could be shown externally or somebody could really become angry. Ek hota hai gusse hona, ek hota hai gussa karna. You know, what is the difference in these two? To show anger and to become angry. Gussa hona aur gussa karna. What is the difference? Gussa karna means you are externally showing the anger to correct somebody. Like teacher temporarily may show anger towards the student. Father may show anger towards the child to correct him. But after teaching him, he become normal immediately, right? Gussa hona means you are under the control of anger. Even after chastising the child or the student, you are still bubbling with anger. You are not calmed down after that also. So that is gussa hona. So what Kashyapa could have done, he could have artificially shown anger toward Diti. No, your action is condemned. It's a very shameful. You should not have acted like this or spoken to me like this. You have given up your shame completely. But Kashyapa did not do that. He externally also did not show anger. He was very polite towards Diti. So Diti took over. She was able to control Kashyapa, forced him. So Kashyapa gave up. So Kashyapa went with Diti in a secluded place. They had union. And after that, Kashyapa came back. He took bath in the river. He started chanting his Gayatri. He again came back and sat, absorbed himself in meditation. Because he knew whatever is being done at this particular time, this was not right. So in his heart, he had that feeling. And after that, Diti also came there. And Diti was also feeling very remorse. She was also feeling that guilt now. Because now, hota kya hai? When you become so much under control of some particular urges, right? When you have particular urge, you become controlled with that. And when that urge is now satisfied, then you come back to your senses. Oh, what did I do? So when that urge comes, your intelligence has been stolen away. After you have been satisfied, the few minutes of satisfaction, even that, right? It could be just a few minutes of satisfaction. After that one thing, oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? Why I did not act intelligently? What happened to me? So that feeling of guilt was there in Diti also. She came back to Kashyapa with folded hands and she started speaking that, I am very sorry, I acted like that. May Lord Shiva may not destroy my embryo. May Lord Shiva not kill the children in my garbha, in my womb. May he be kind to me. Please kindly see that my embryo is not killed by Lord Shiva because of this great offense I have committed against him. Let me offer my obeisances unto that angry Lord Shiva. So now she is describing the characteristics of Lord Shiva, that he becomes angry also very soon and he is pleased also very soon. He becomes happy also very soon and he grants benedictions. Somebody try to please Lord Shiva, he becomes pleased so quickly. That's why he is known as Ashutosh. He is pleased so quickly. But he becomes angry also very quickly and he can bring in the whole destruction also. Tandava. Agar Bhagavan ko Shiv ko gussa aa gaya aur unhone tandav karna shuru kar diya to sab pura pralay bhi aa sakta hai. So he becomes angry also very quickly and he becomes pleased also very quickly. But may he not become angry on me, because generally Lord Shiva is very kind towards women. Generally the girls, right, unmarried girls also, they pray to Lord Shiva. They pray to the wife of Lord Shiva for getting a good husband and to get a good son. They pray to Lord Shiva. And even the women are given mercy by even the hunters, the Vyadha also, the sinful people. They also show some kind of a soft corner towards women. So may Lord Shiva have a soft corner toward me, not give me any punishment. He does not punish my embryo, my womb. And please, you make sure my embryo is not destroyed like that. So she is praying to her husband or requesting to her husband like that. And after hearing her plea, what does Kashyapa say? Kashyapa speaks to Diti, whatever you have done, you understand that was very wrong. Now you understand that I was trying to tell you, you did not listen to me. That was very wrong. And I can predict you, because of your wrong action, your wrong consciousness, you are offending Lord Shiva, you are offending your husband, not listening to your husband. And because of the influence of the inauspicious time, everything was wrong. All these parameters were wrong. And the children who are going to born through your condemned womb. So he is telling Diti very strong words now. He could have spoken these strong words earlier. But Kashyapa understood actually this is all plan of the Lord. So he paid obeisances to his fate. Whatever is my fate, whatever is my destiny, let it be. But now he is saying, your condemned womb, O unfortunate woman, your condemned womb will give birth to two demoniac personalities. you will give birth to two demoniac sons who will torment all three worlds. They will torture the whole world. They will torture the Brahmanas. They will torture the women. They will plunder other people. They will steal from others. They will be a great enemy of the Supreme Lord. And ultimately, Supreme Lord himself will appear and destroy. He will himself kill those two sons. So when Diti heard like that, what will be Diti's response? If it was spoken to you, what will be your response? Diti actually became happy. She said, I am very happy that my sons will be killed by the hands of the Supreme Lord. I don't want my sons, if they are going to be demoniac personalities, I don't want my sons to be destroyed by the curses of the Brahmanas. ऐसा ना हो कि ब्राह्मण उनको ब्राह्मण दंड दें कि उनको ऊपर कुछ श्राप लगा दें. बिकॉज ऑफ देयर कर्स दोज सन्स विल बी डिस्ट्रॉयड. बिकॉज द कर्स ऑफ ब्राह्मणस, इफ समबडी इज कंडेम्ड बाय द ब्राह्मणस, दे आर कंडेम्ड नॉट इन दिस लाइफ ओनली बट इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ ऑल्सो दे आर कंडेम्ड. एंड दैट पर्सन इफ ही गोज टू द हेल ऑल्सो, द रेजिडेंट्स ऑफ हेल ऑल्सो आर नॉट काइंड टूवर्ड्स देम. They also look down towards them and behave badly towards them. Just imagine the scene of a prison house in jail. There are so many prisoners in jail. So in jail also prisoners have different grading. Ek bade level ka kaidi hai, ek chote level ka kaidi hai. Some prisoners are very scary, right? People are scared of them even in the prison house. Some big murderers, very horrible looking personalities, and nobody want to be closer to them. Nobody want to talk to them. And somebody else in the prison house who has come, he has committed some crime, but maybe for benefit of others. They are looked upon as a great leaders. You know, उन्होंने दूसरों की भलाई करने की कोशिश की, उसके लिए उन्होंने कुछ crime किया. They committed some crime as per the government laws. So they have been brought into the prison house. Or like some leaders, politicians, they come to the prison house. But there are some prisoners who are looked down upon even in the prison house. So Diti is saying that such great sinful people who are condemned by Brahmanas, even the residents of hell, they are not kind towards them also. So I am happy that my sons will not be condemned by Brahmanas. They will be killed by the hands of the Supreme Lord. And they will get the darshan of the Supreme Lord. This is so glorious. If they get to see the Supreme Lord, I feel as if I have taken darshan of the Supreme Lord. Maine nahi kiya, toh mere beto ne toh darshan kiya Bhagawan ka. Bahut achhi baat hai. So that is her consciousness. And now seeing her consciousness, Kashyap is also pacified, pleased. And then he says, now because I can see that you are repenting of your action, now you are respectful towards Lord Shiva, you are respectful towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are not criticizing him that he will kill your sons, but you are happy. So you are respectful towards the Supreme Lord, and you are respectful towards me also now. Earlier you did not listen to your husband, you were not respectful. So now because you are correcting all your actions, actually you will have a benediction. Your two sons will be great demoniac personalities, but the son of your son, one son of your son, he will be a great devotee of the Lord. So these two sons, Kashyap is giving prediction about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And the son of the son will become a great devotee of the Lord. That is Prahlad Maharaj. That one of your grandson, he will be a great devotee of the Lord. He will be filled with so many saintly qualities. Everybody will try to follow into his footsteps. People by hearing about him will purify themselves. And he will be as glorious as the Supreme Lord. When people speak about the Lord, they will take his name also. And he will be freed from all sort of enmity, enviousness in his heart. He will not have any enmity towards anybody. He will be samadarshi. He will see everybody with equal vision. He doesn't consider anybody as a friend or anybody as an enemy. For him, everybody is equal. See, that enmity, the sense of not having enmity towards anybody, that's so wonderful. Ajat Shatruva, not having any feeling of enmity. In this world, everybody has to some level, some degree, that sense of enmity towards others. Somebody did something wrong towards us, we become envious or enemy toward that person. Why did you do this to me? Right? But Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't have any sense of enmity. He thinks everybody is my friend. Even if something bad happened to me, it is because of my own, maybe some sinful karma. That's how it has come to me. That person is just a delivery man. It's not that he did something to me. He just delivered my karma to me. Like a postman comes to your home, he brings a letter, and you open the letter, there is some bad news. And you start fighting with the postman. How dare you deliver that news to me? The postman answers, just a servant. I'm just delivering this news. I did not do that bad thing to you. I'm just delivering that. So same way, one should see in the life that if something bad happened to me, it is just my karma got delivered to me. The other person through whom that came, he is just a delivery boy, delivery girl. So in that way, we should not have any sense of enmity towards others. So Prahlad had that sort of feeling. He did not even consider his father as his enemy who tried to kill him. He was trying so many ways to kill Prahlad. But at the end, when Narasingadev killed him, he was thinking for his welfare of his father. Please, when Narasingadev asked, what benediction you want? Please deliver my father. Even though he was an enemy towards you, please be merciful to him. That was his consciousness. And his guru's sons, right? His gurus, Shandamarak, they also tried to harm him. But he was so kind towards them. When they themselves got killed because of their black magic, he was praying to the Lord, if I am being a great servant of yours, if meri agar mere sacche man se maine aapki kabhi bhakti ki hai to in dono ko jeevit kar dijiye. So he never had any sense of enmity towards anybody. That is one of the greatest quality of Prahlad Maharaj. And everybody, Kashyap is saying, your grandson will be a great devotee. That is the benediction on you, and everybody will follow in his footstep. So hearing that, Diti became even more happy. My sons will be killed by the hands of the Supreme Lord. That is in itself glorious. And my grandson will become such a great devotee of the Lord. So she was very satisfied, very completely calmed down now. And then the next description comes. So we heard these two demonic personalities will take shelter in the womb of Diti. And whatever the wrong activity Diti did. When we hear about all that, sometimes we make a picture in our mind, right? We start to look down upon Diti. We start to judge her activity, her behavior, thinking, oh, she is not following the religious principle, even though she is the wife of a great Brahmana, Kashyapa, Prajapati, one of the Prajapati. How could she act in that way? But ultimately, what we should see from the bigger picture, we are reading only this particular section. But ultimately, it was the plan of the Lord. Right? Who are these two personalities who are coming, taking shelter in the womb of Diti? So that will follow in the next chapters. Now, Maitra Rishi will turn his camera from the ashram of Kashyap and Diti to Vaikuntha. So he is showing what is happening or what was happening in Vaikuntha. The four Kumaras, they went to visit Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. They were stopped by Jayavijay and ultimately they got cursed by him, and that's how they had to take birth as the enemy of the Lord. So this Jayavijay now coming, taking shelter in the womb of Diti to be born as Hiranyakshan Hiranyakashipu. But that all will come in the next chapters. We are hearing only this particular section in between, and by just that much section we start to judge Diti. So the scripture actually warned that one should not start to judge others. As we say, a very famous statement, don't judge the book by the cover. Right? Don't judge the other person by just one particular behavior. We should look at the all bigger aspect, why he behaved in that particular way. Maybe something happened and he was in a particular mood set, particular consciousness. So don't judge anybody from one particular aspect, one particular that momentarily reaction. Sometimes people quote one particular section, one particular verse, completely out of context, try to prove their point. Right? Sometimes so many times court war goes on. There is a court war, the public court, right? Where judge is sitting and hearing. That is court war. And then there is a court war. Quoting different statements. No, I am quoting this statement from that person. I am correct. No, I am quoting. I am also quoting from same person this statement. I am correct. So somebody quoting the statement of same person but completely from a different context and try to prove their point. So one should not just take something from out of context, look at the bigger picture to understand it completely. And when we hear about all these descriptions, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of all these narrations? To make us aware, are we also breaking some regulative principle or engaging in some kind of this sort of activities? What is our consciousness in while engaging in those sort of activities? Because if somebody tells you directly, Prabhu, there is so much lust in your heart, there is so much anger in your heart, you should try to work on that, give up that. One may become offended, right? Why are you speaking to me like that? But when we hear from the scriptures indirectly through the stories of others, then we introspect. Let me see. Let me open up my heart and look inside. Do I also have that sort of mentality? Do I also break the regulative principle and do this sort of activity? So it gives us opportunity to introspect and try to correct our action, try to give up our anarthas. So scripture at every level, every aspect gives us an opportunity to work on our anarthas, to realize our anarthas and work on that. So that is how we should look at all these different narrations. So we'll stop here. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. So if anybody has any questions, comments online, Facebook or conference call. So first we'll take those questions. Then we can take the persons from live audience or in-person audience. Any questions online? Maybe everybody is busy introspecting. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, your voice is breaking up. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, your voice is not clear somehow.
Hello?
Yes, Prabhu. Can you?
I got a question that... Hello?
Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you now.
Yeah. So, in some point of time, Diti becomes... basically devotee of Lord, right? So Kashyapa teaches to Diti.
Kashyapa what?
It was Kashyapa teaches Diti.
Kashyapa preaches to Diti. Yes, that will come much later yet. So now Diti was speaking that, oh, I am very feeling that sense of guilt and I am very happy my sons will be killed by the hands of the Supreme Lord. So, ek bar bolne ke liye achha tha. Again, Diti is showing us our real face, right? She is doing that to show us what our nature is. When the son is killed, she is again having that animosity towards Indra. Oh, he is the one because of him. So, Supreme Lord came and he killed my sons. Now I want to have another son who will kill Indra. Right? She had that grudge, revengeful mood again. And then again Kashyapa preaches, indirectly he engages Diti in devotional service, because of which she becomes purified, and finally then she gives up all that mentality and becomes a devotee and engages in the service.
Okay, and also Diti got the first 2 kids, Hiranya Kashyapu, and after this she had more kids, right?
Yes, she has more kids who will become the Vasus and all. That will come much later, after these 2 sons are killed. That's what when she wanted to take revenge from Indra. So she is again carrying the child in the womb, and Indra comes and cuts into 49 pieces or something like that. And those again, finally those sons are born, 49 children or something. And they become as associates of Indra, as friends of Indra, brothers of Indra. See, Indra, who is Indra and all the other Devi Devatas, they are the sons of Aditi. Right? Kashyapa's other wife, Diti's sister. So the children of Aditi are the Devatas, and the children of Diti, they became the Daityas.
Okay, yeah.
Because from Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, the whole progeny came, who were the ruler of the Daityas later on. But ultimately, finally, she gives birth to more children who will become alliances of Indra. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, sir. So, what were the avatars of Jaya and Vijay? Even though it will come later on, we can give a short answer. The 3 avatars of Jaya Vijay, first time they appeared as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They are killed by Lord Varaha and Narsingadev. Right? So Hiranyaksha was killed by Varaha Dev, Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narsingadev. Second avatar, they appeared as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. They were killed by Lord Ramachandra. Third time they appeared as Dantavakra and Shishupal, and they were killed by Lord Krishna. So these were the 3 different incarnations, the 3 times appearance of Jaya Vijay. Because when they got the curse, they were given 2 options. Either you appear as 7 lifetimes as the devotee of the Lord, or 3 lifetimes as the enemy of the Lord. And they chose to become the enemy of the Lord. 3 times seems lesser duration, we will be able to come back quicker. Come back to Vaikuntha, come back to you quicker. And ultimately their purpose was to give Virya Ras to the Lord. Because in Vaikuntha there is no Virya Ras. There is no fighting. And they had the desire, oh, we will like to give Virya Ras to the Lord. Have the Lord enjoy this Virya Ras. And to enjoy the Virya Ras, it has to be in the material world. And that's how this whole pastime was arranged. The Kumaras, 4 Kumaras coming there, Jaya Vijay offending them and getting cursed. So that was the whole arrangement of the Supreme Lord, because he knows the desire of everybody. He is living in everybody's heart and know what is going on in their heart, what is their desire. You want to have Virya Ras with me? Okay, we will arrange for that, but it has to be in the material world. So Jaya Vijay, they chose to come as an enemy of the Lord 3 times. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana Kumbhakaran, then Shishupal, Dantavakra.
So no one is giving Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Then Jaya and Vijaya are guarding the door, right? So what they are guarding?
Yeah, so that is a good question, right? Why there is a need of guarding? Because, see, it is just the their mood to serve the Lord, that, oh, we want to serve the Lord, be engaged in service in the way that nothing comes to him, right? They just, out of their love for the Lord, they want to engage in that service. Like in the temples, you may be around some senior devotees, or like you are around your Guru Maharaj, to kind of give, offer him protection, that no danger comes on him. Even though there is no danger for him, but you are just having that feeling of love towards him, to be careful about him, careful towards him. So,
taking care.
It's not like there is any danger coming to him. Nobody, no enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha. Nobody is eligible to enter Vaikuntha like that. Yes, there are seven gates. Jaya Vijaya were at the last gate. So the four Kumaras cross six gates. So it will come in the next class. But we are giving the glimpse. So that you attend next class. To hear in more detail. Trailer. That is a little technical question. I may not be give answer to you specifically, but yes, there is a gotra, right? Every family, there is a particular gotra. So when we pray to the Lord, we recite the name of the place where we exactly are, right? We say Bharat Varshe, Bharat Khande. First it starts from Jambudvipe. Jambudvipe, Bharat Varshe, Bharat Khande. And then you speak about the name of your family lineage, this gotra. Then you speak your name, right? And then you say Samarpayami, that I offer this to you. So it is just giving your attendance, that I am describing my place and my family lineage while making that offering. I'm sorry, I may not be able to give you the exact answer, the technical details about what is the other greater significance of saying the particular gotra and all.
Yeah, thank you,
bro.
You just answered two questions.
Yeah, it's just kind of giving your clear identification. Okay, so questions from in-person audience. Any questions? Or any point of discussion, any comment?
I do have one question.
Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
Is also born in the Jaita. Who is Bali Maharaj's
father
and mother?
No. See, from Diti Kashyapa came Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu. From Hiranyakashipu came Prahlad. From Prahlad came Virochan. From Virochan came Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj.
And so Bali Maharaj is Lord Vamandev appeared to Aditi.
Yes.
So,
Lord Vamandev also came through Kashyapa and Aditi, the other wife. Yes. So, what is the question?
Okay. So, the other... Yeah, so, the 13 wives of
Kashyapa.
So, from each wife, there is the different...
Progeny is there.
So that is from
Diti.
Maybe in the future.
So actually the name also is very significant, right? Diti Daityas. Aditi Adityas. Adityas means who are favorable towards the Lord. Adityas, right? And then from many other wives, from some wife came the species of snake type of species, from somebody came a different type of species, and that was all the plan of Lord, to fill the world with different type of species. Right? So through Kashyapa, all different type of species came. Through all these different wives. Now it may seem very unrealistic to us that we may not be able to relate to that. How come that way? Because we hear when Diti heard that she is going to give birth to two ghastly beings, this very horrible personalities who will torture the whole world, she carried these two children in her womb for 100 years. From our point of view, it may seem very unrealistic. Oh, how can that be? It doesn't look real to us. But it is possible because there is a relativity in time. On each planet, on different planet, higher planets, we are speaking about these 100 years from the earthly calculation. Right? On the higher planets, it may still equal to 9 months of her pregnancy. But from earthly calculation, she carried the two children for 100 years. And for Kayadu also, it comes in the description that Kayadu also carried the child in her womb for 1,000 years. When Hiranyakashipu had gone to do austerities to get that bone, Kayadu was pregnant and she carried the child in her womb for 1,000 years. And she stayed at the ashram of Narad Muni, heard Bhagavatam. So these things may seem little unrealistic. We may not be able to relate that, but it doesn't mean it's not possible. From our point of view, it's not possible. We may not have that capacity to do that. Being as a the people of this earthly planet, we may not have that capacity.
That means that when we say Gotra and Kashyap Gotra,
right,
that goes back to the...
Yes, you're tracing back to that family lineage.
Yeah. And but same way, even the Diti also say Kashyap Gotra, so our siblings, that is also Daityas or Sarp or whatever.
Right, so you don't know from which particular family lineage they are. Don't become proud of just calling Kashyap Gotra. Right? It may be from the Daitya side of Kashyapa also.
Cousins are all.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
From one, I was thinking, like when he said Bhumi Devi, like, you know, she went imbalance and then went in the Patal. So like there was no like human life at that time, like, you know, otherwise it would like destroy everything.
So, yeah, that is a nice question. What happened to all the life? So everybody was merged in water.
Everything was
kind of destroyed by them, right? All the those demonic personalities, Hiranyaksha and Kashyapu, they destroyed everything on earth. And earth was in a complete imbalance. Generally, hum log bolte hai, something fell on earth. In this case, earth itself fell from its position.
So everything was destroyed.
Yes, everything was merged in waters. So it was already the time of Pralaya, caused by Hiranyaksha.
Prabhuji, just one comment.
Yes, Prabhuji.
You said you have the capacity to know certain things and understand certain things, right? So I'm actually amazed at your capacity to know what you know.
It's all mercy of Guru and Gauranga.
Every time I listen to you, it's like a whole world opens up.
It's the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. I am nobody, Prabhu. You haven't met other great personalities. I am nobody. There are so many great devotees who know inside out everything and they can relate to that very nicely. We just try to read, listen and try to bring up some point, relate to some points and speak those points so that others can also relate to that message. So there is nothing to my credit. This is all mercy of the Lord who is being very kind to us, to engage us in this process, to keep us engaged. Okay. Thank you. So we'll stop it here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhu ki jai.